Well, I've been thinking today quite a bit, just about specifically Hadley, actually. If you were here this morning, you remember that I shared with you guys just about the incredible and wonderful thing that it is when we can dig into this God's Word and when we can discover in this Word the God who is being revealed by this Word, instead of discovering this to be a structure that gives us another religion to follow. So I've been thinking about Hadley a lot because she's been reading the Bible so much lately and working her way through, and it just dawned on me this afternoon as I was thinking about it that in this time and in this place where she is in her life right now, if I could wish for her, if I could dream for her what she would discover as she digs into God's Word, I was trying to think through what that might be. And what is it that I would just want to go, God, if you could just do something in her heart as she digs into your Word, where would I want God to take her as she discovers this amazing thing? And that is what kind of led me a little bit down the journey that I want to take you on tonight, the journey that God's kind of weaved me through over these last couple of hours, actually. Next week, we're going to have the privilege of having the Brazil team that went to Brazil come up here and share with you guys the incredible things that God did in Brazil while they were there, through them and in them. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, would you? We're going to start in the book of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible under the chairs, there's a bunch of Bibles. Grab one of those. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. In our Bibles, it is on page 671. So I'm thinking to myself, God, what is it? What is it you're doing here? What is it that you're doing in Hadley's life? And what is it that I want you to do in Hadley's life? And I start kind of finding myself in this idea of calling, you know? Because I've been thinking a lot about the rabbi, Jesus, and what it means to follow him over these last few weeks, because we're working here at Mosaic Church to develop the arena of discipleship over the next few months. And really coming back to this concept of what it means to abide in Christ, what it means to follow Christ, what it means to be in the dust of the rabbi, if you will. And this concept just been on my mind a lot. And so Jesus takes me here to Matthew chapter 4 in my mind, and I go to verse 18. And this is what it says. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Such a simple passage, isn't it? And here it is. You can kind of picture it. I've thought about that so many times, you know. How did it really play out? I mean, Matthew summarizing here, Jesus is walking down the beach. Yo, Peter, follow me. Done. Go. Is that how it played out? Or was it, you know, Jesus actually sat down for days with these guys and talked to them, and Matthew boils it down to, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, and it's done. You know, as you read the different Gospels, you gain this concept of the immediacy of this particular arena as Christ walked in, and he said to these guys, listen, follow me. Now, in this culture and in this time, there's a lot going on here in the background that obviously influences how this played out, because as many of you probably know, during this time, there was a rabbinical order that was all over Israel, and as young boys would start growing up, they would go through training. And as those boys would train, if they did really, really well, they could continue to move up in the training as they memorized the first five books of the Bible and as they learned the law. If they showed extreme sense of God's Word and all that kind, then sometimes they would get to the level where a rabbi might say, I'm watching you because I want to see if you can become, if you will, my apprentice. And then if once an entire town of boys grew up, they would select the cream of the crop, the best of the best. And they would say, you are allowed the privilege of following the rabbi. What they used to say is that you would take on the yoke of the rabbi. That would mean that you would take that particular rabbi who was a learned man, you would take on his teachings, you would take on his philosophies, you would take on his paradigms, and you would rest them on your shoulders, if you will, like he did, and you would walk beside him. And they used to actually say that. You walked in the dust of your rabbi. Wherever he went, you were so close behind him that these very dust would kind of just fall on you as you'd go. So here are these boys, and they're with their dad, and they're fishing, and these other two boys, they're casting nets out, and Jesus, who is a rabbi and a teacher, walks over, and he looks at these two guys, and he says, Peter, Andrew, listen, I want you to follow me. Yeah, right now you're fishing, and that's great, but I will make you fishers of men. I will take what you're doing now, and I will breathe something into it that takes it to the level that you can't even imagine. The part in the story that really strikes me is when he called the other two boys, because they were with their dad. And they're in the boat. They're with their dad. They're sitting there, and Jesus calls out to them, and he says, come, follow me. Come and walk with me. We know that there was relationship with Christ prior to the moment in the boat where they called out to John and to James and said, follow me. And Zebedee, their dad, already knew that there was something happening here. I can imagine in the boat that they might have even been having conversations over that while before about this rabbi, Jesus. And the idea of following a rabbi, these two boys in particular, John and James, they had learned a lot. They had grown up in a world where the parents had kind of pushed to get them into influence and get them to the point where maybe they would end up following a rabbi. And as Jesus calls out to them, I have to wonder what took place on that boat, that conversation, for those few moments where John and James looked over at Zebedee, their dad, and said, what should we do? Should we go? And Zebedee looks at them and he goes, are you kidding me? You don't miss this chance. I'll be fine. I'll get some of the boys from town to help me fish. But dad, I mean, you can't do this. You get the whole business to run. I got it. He's calling now. This is it, man. I mean, once he walks away, it ain't coming back. You got to do it now. Boys, trust me. Just go. Follow Jesus. Follow him wherever he takes you. Follow close behind him. Stay in the very dust that rises up from his sandals. Listen to everything he says. Pay close attention. Learn from him. And someday you too will be like him. You will be a great teacher. Of course, they couldn't have imagined, they couldn't have in their wildest imagination thought of what was actually happening. That the actual God of the universe, the creator and sustainer, the Alpha and Omega, the one who was holding them together was actually the rabbi calling them. But they went. Those two boys, they jumped out of that boat and they started following Jesus. And this idea of the call of Christ, follow me. Take on to yourself who I am and start becoming like me. This is a call that doesn't just stop here in Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me in Matthew. Just go a little further to Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, there's a bunch of stuff happening here. But as we get down into verse 25, Jesus stops and he begins to pray to the Father. And he says this, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. See what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, hey, listen, at the end of the day, bottom line is nobody, no human being on this planet knows the Father. Has that, and when you say the word know here, it would be like the knowing that you have of a spouse or a friend that has been a friend for years and years and years. You know that knowing where you can walk into a room and you can already anticipate what they're going to do or say because you just know them. You know how they're going to react. You know what they're going to do. And he says, nobody knows the Father except for the Son. And nobody knows the Son except for the Father. And then he takes that last step, which had he stopped there, it would have been a bad place for us to be. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and those to whom I choose to reveal him. And then he says these beautiful words. Verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, when he uses this language, that language would have been very familiar to the culture of that day. Because when you start talking about yoke, and you start talking about taking on and learning from me, and following me, you're talking rabbinical language here. You are looking at your disciples and you're saying, take on my yoke, my philosophies, my understandings, my teachings, the way I see things, the way I do things, the way I talk about things, the way I think about things, the way I act on things, the way I respond to things, take them onto your shoulders, carry them, learn from me, and do those things. Because when you do, the life I live will lead you into a place where I will bring rest to your souls. I think about Hadley. I think about her spending time in the Word. I think about all the trappings that she could find herself in, all the structures in which she could get caught up in here, all the religious, legalistic stuff that she might find herself in if she's not careful. And then I think of the One. I think of the God of the universe who put all of this together for a single purpose, to reveal himself to man and to say, this is me. This is how you can follow me, and this is the life I'm calling you into, so that you can take onto your shoulders my yoke and you can be like me. It takes me back to my dear friend David and the Psalms. Turn back with me, would you? Psalm 119. We were talking about that this morning, weren't we? Psalm 119. On page 429 of our Bibles, this is what it says. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways are steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do you hear in the heart of these writings a legalistic, structured, religious experience that says, I will make sure I know exactly what I'm supposed to do so I don't mess up, so that I can be holy somehow. I don't hear that. I hear a man crying out to God saying, yes, I want to know your statutes. Yes, I want to know your laws. Yes, I want to know every detail so that I can learn from you, so that I can follow you, so that I can walk in your ways, so that I will be pure and blameless in your sight, because you are my God. See, he got it. He so got it. He was like, I want this so badly because I want your yoke on my shoulders. I want to walk in your ways. I want to do what you say. I just want to be close. I want to step to the left or the right. I just want to be right in your dust, man. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 15, many of you know this is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Jeremiah 15, page 539 of our Bibles. There is this beautiful moment where Jeremiah has been digging through the ruins of the temple, basically. And as he digs through the ruins of the temple, he suddenly discovers the missing Torah, the missing Word of God. It had been missing for a while, and they hadn't had it for a long time. And suddenly he discovers it, and he finds it, and he pulls it out, and he starts to read it. And in this verse, this is what he describes happened at that moment as he was reading it. In Jeremiah 15, 16, he says this. He says, when your words came, I ate them. And they were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. When your words came to me, I ate them. And they were the joy and the delight of my heart. So I think about my little 8-year-old daughter, Hadley. And I start thinking about, as a dad and a father, what it is I dream for her as she discovers the Word of God. And I start praying. And I start going, God, this is it. God, I want her to find you like those two boys on the boat. I want her to hear your voice calling out to her, Hadley, Hadley, come, come follow me. Come, come, come get behind me. Come, take on my yoke, Hadley. Place it on your shoulders, Hadley. Come, listen to my words, Hadley. Listen to them carefully. Pay close attention to them. Hadley, learn from me. Learn about how I think. Watch how I lived. Watch how I loved. Watch how I served. Watch how I led. And learn. And then, Hadley, I want you to go and do the same. So you just come stay right beside me. The call of God has never changed, not from the beginning of time until today. It's no different than the call that he shouted out to those boys on the boat. Come, follow me. Tomorrow morning is Monday. Every one of you sitting in this room has stuff going on Monday. If you don't, it's your day off, and you probably have stuff going on anyways. And first thing in the morning, as the sun rises over the horizon, the voice of your God and mine is going to shout out to you. And he's going to say, come. This day, come and follow me. Come listen to my words. Come pay attention to what I have to say. Come watch how I lived. Come do what I did. In essence, what he's going to say is, all you who are weary and burdened, come follow me. And I will give you rest for your souls. Take onto your shoulders my yoke, my philosophies, my beliefs, my system, my ways. And put them into practice. And you will find rest for your souls. I am scared. I am. I stand here and I'm scared that tomorrow morning I'm going to miss that voice. I'm going to be so busy fishing, so busy casting nets, so busy getting ready for something else that when God calls out and says, Renaud, I'll take care of Hadley just fine. And when I call her, you be like Zebedee now. You send her my way. But for now, Renaud, I want to ask you, are you following me? Are you coming? Is your daughter watching your life and asking herself, I want to be just like my dad? And if she's going to be just like you, is she going to end up being just like me? And I look at my day tomorrow and I go, God, please, when your voice comes to me in the morning and it says, come, Renaud, open up the words and learn from me. May I not miss that incredible opportunity. Doesn't matter when it happens in your day, but what matters is that it does. That you find your time in your day, not 20 minutes to have a little devotional, which for many of us would be a great step, but far more than that. When you leave your house in the morning and you get in your car to drive to wherever you gotta go, when your kids are running around and driving you insane, when your boss is on you about some silly thing, or when your employees aren't doing what they're supposed to, when you bump into somebody on your path that needs you, needs a shoulder to lean on or a hand to help, are you going to be paying attention to the voice of your Savior shouting out to you and saying, hey, Renaud, are you listening? Come and follow me. Do it my way. Set your nets aside for a second. I will show you what it means to be a fisher of men. I will show you a life you can't begin to dream up yourself if you would just follow me. And right here, he has revealed himself to us. How much time are we spending at the feet of our Savior? Learning, studying, digging, eating of the Word of God, so that it too will become the joy and delight of our hearts. And so like David, we would say, I have hidden your word in my heart because that is how I learn from you. And now that it's hidden here, may my life follow suit for the ways that you've hidden in me, that I might be just like you, following in the dust of my rabbi. And someday my children and their children and their children's children, as they have followed me and as I have followed you, will find themselves in that same dust, being just like their Savior. Let's pray. Lord God, I am overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed at the privilege that you would have revealed to me who your Father is and who you are. God, you said it. Nobody knows the Father. Nobody knows you except for those whom you choose to reveal this amazing wonder to. And I feel like those boys on the boat right now, God. I feel like those boys on the boat hearing your voice quietly in the distance. That all too familiar voice that says, hey boys, come. Come follow me. Come walk in my dust. Come take on my yoke. And I will lead you into a rest you can't even begin to imagine. And God, I am sorry tonight that we so often miss that voice in the hustle and bustle of the fishing we do. But I, for one, God, I raise my hand tonight and just say, please, would you call loudly tomorrow into my life? Would you whisper into me the wonders that is waiting for me in your word if I would just go and eat? May I learn from you. May I follow you. And as I do, God, Lord God, would you work in me to bring me to a place where I would think like you, where I would live like you, where I would love like you, where I'd serve like you, where I would lead like you. So that those whom you have given to me to shepherd, my children, and my friends, my circle of influence, my neighbors, that they would see in me only what they would see in you if you were standing in my shoes. I long for the rest that you have waiting as I take on your yoke. So Lord, hear me now. I follow you. I follow you. I want to be right next to you. Would you drag me there? Whatever the cost, whatever the cross that I have to bear, would you drag me there? If you're here tonight and you want to just again, just from your heart to God's heart, just say, I'm in, man. I'm in. I want to follow you. Would you call me tomorrow loudly? Would you just in the quiet of your own seat right there, would you just whisper that to him from your heart to his? I'm in, God. I want to follow you. Would you get rid of the nets that keep me fishing? Call me back into your word, back into your life, back into your dust. Would you take a few minutes, speak with your Savior?